Yeah, this morning I've really got a message on my heart for us that I think will be challenging for us, because our Christianity is supposed to touch on your life. It's supposed to make us uncomfortable at times and make us live different. If your Christianity does not force you to live differently, then we need to reevaluate our Christianity and say, God, use me for your benefit. Can you hear me? It feels like I'm speaking into a massive crowd. Okay. This sounds okay. Okay, you'll keep editing, I'm sure. So I wanted to just start by telling you a story of early days 412. Those of you who don't know, you are Josh Chen this morning. Welcome. If you didn't know, that's the church's name. We don't care about the name, but it just identifies us, who we are and what we stand for. We don't try and build around the name. But we form part of a larger group of churches called 412 that's all around the world, and we try and partner together as churches, really take hands and advance the kingdom. And a couple of years ago, there was a church in the Isle of Man. It's a little island off the coast of England and Scotland, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere there's a little island called the Isle of Man. Lots of people only know it for their motorcycle racing that happens there once a year, the Isle of Man TT. But anyway, there was this church that felt like they wanted to join us. They got to know us and said, yes, we really want to start living out New Testament Christianity, and we want to partner with you and just see God doing something beautiful on the Isle of Man. There was an existing church there. And a couple of the leaders flew over there, started teaching in the church, and they just felt like things aren't changing and we're not seeing, you know, because our ultimate goal is we want to see the Bible today. That's the goal. We want to see what we see in the book of Acts, what plays out there to the best of our ability, our heart and vision for church, is we want to see that playing out. And they felt like it was taking really long and they were struggling to get to this point of people really living it out, and realized, and this is something you realize when you preach, that preaching only does a little bit. And Sundays are actually not as important in the life of the church as we might think. Sometimes we make it the most important time of getting together as a church, and I don't actually think so. And they realized that they were slowly but surely getting moving forward, but it wasn't happening like they wanted to. So they put out a call to Josh Chen. Josh Chen was much smaller at that stage in Cape Town, and said, listen, teaching is not helping. We want to go and live amongst the people for a bit. We want some of you to buy your own flight tickets, and I don't know when last you tried to fly to Europe. It's a little bit expensive. But out of your own pocket, those of you who would be willing, please pray about it, think about it, buy your own flight tickets and come with us to the Isle of Man and come spend 2 weeks and just live amongst the people. Because there's something of us living amongst each other where we rub off on each other. And the way that you love God, it infiltrates the way that other people love God. It's one thing teaching it, it's another thing living it and showing it. And it's an incredible testimony. 70, 70, Josh Chainers said, we'll pay for our own tickets and we'll go to the Isle of Man for 2 weeks. And they went and they lived in these people's homes. And the testimony of that church, this is not Josh Chain's testimony, I've heard the guy who leads that church saying that those 2 weeks totally transformed their church much more than a teaching on a Sunday. When people got into each other's homes and they lived together and they shared Jesus together. And this morning, I want to really challenge us to say, I think something of that needs to infiltrate into our Christianity a little bit. That we need to break away from, now listen, Sundays are important. Please come next Sunday. Please. It's important. It's one day when all of us get together. But we need to move away from that being the most central part to saying, well, there's actually much more to church life. And if we can live together in each other's homes, then we're going to see the kingdom coming, really. Christianity is not a Sunday thing. It's a Monday to Sunday thing. It needs to be lived out together in community, doing life together. And a while ago, I had a conversation with one of the guys who lead a church in Cape Town, one of the Josh Chen churches, and we were just speaking about what's happening in Bloemfontein. And if you don't know, this has really been an exciting season the last while. We've merged, we've seen new people coming. It feels like the biggest thing that I love about what's happening is probably the last 2 months. Every single Sunday, we've seen a couple of people giving their lives to Jesus and making right with him. I don't care about anything else. That's wonderful. And I want to see more of that. And so just we were sharing about what's happening in Bloem and us being here from Stellenbosch, and just we're loving it. We're loving the church. God's doing something beautiful, and the same on that side. But I said the one thing that sucks for me is we are so far away from a lot of the Josh Chain, what's happening in Josh Chain, and there's beautiful things happening on that side. And we are a family. And this guy, his name is Dan Barnard, those of you know him, he said, but why don't we bring a big team to come spend a weekend with you? And I said, yes, let's do it. I'd love to do that. The one thing that I feel is going to be a barrier for us is I want to know, will we open up our homes to these people? Will we be like those Isle of Manners who said, well, we'll take 70 people in, and do we see the value of actually having strangers in our house? And so my message this morning is twofold. Actually, I want to convince you to open up your home. I'm just being honest. I'm going to convince you to have strangers in your home. It's probably going to be end of October, beginning November, that weekend. Just for a weekend, I want to convince you. But that's only a little part. I asked the leaders, I said, listen, we're going to do this, and if we do it, I want at least 50 people from Cape Town coming here for a weekend. And as leaders, we said, we'll commit to doing 50. The problem is, it's not going to help if only the leaders have people in their homes. I want us to have people in our homes. And so our arrangement is, we're going to open it up to the church. Hopefully, I want to say if I do a good job this morning, but if the Bible does a good job this morning of convincing you that this is biblical and we'll find God's blessing if we do it, then as much as we are willing to open up our homes, that's how many they will try and send you. If it's 50, 60, 70, 80, that doesn't matter. We want to do a big weekend with our extended family. But that's only one part. The second part is, I feel like this should not just be a weekend thing. This should be a culture. We should be a church that says our homes are not our own. Our homes belong to God. It belongs to the kingdom. Our homes, it's not just my little safe space, because you know, our modern culture, your home, you build that wall as big as you can, you put up an electric fence, and that's where you hide. And I want to say, I think in Bloemfontein, sorry, I'm a Bloemfonteiner now as well. Thank you. In Bloemfontein, I've seen that's the culture especially. I've been so blown away. If I drive around at night, I think die wegroping het plaasgevind. It's like the rapture's taken place, but that's only in 3 days, I've heard, but I don't think so, but it feels like the rapture's taken place because people hide behind their walls and we like these isolated bubbles, but I don't think that's what happened in the early church. And on Sundays we get together, we come out of our homes. That's not what happened in the early church. They lived together. They were in each other's homes, and they opened up their homes to strangers. And so I feel like not only do we need that weekend will be a big push, but we need open homes. We need to open our hearts to have open homes so that God can do a beautiful thing in and through us. You know, God wants us and this church, He wants us to have an influence on Bloemfontein, on Central South Africa, on Africa, on the world. Do you know that about us? Amen. There's one person who agrees with me. I know this is just, we're a little church in Bloem. What are we? Who are we? Well, we're nothing, actually. But if we put up our hands to say, Lord, would you use us? Then God will use us. And He'll use us to make an impact across this country. I really do believe it. As us here in Bloemfontein. In the Bible, they said about Jesus, what good can come from Bethlehem? And people might say, what good can come from Bloemfontein? Well, if we're willing to put up our hands and say, Lord, use us. Yes, man, God can use us powerfully. But we need open homes to accomplish the work that God has for us. We will have people coming in. If God starts working here as I believe He wants to, we'll have people, other churches who want more of God, who would want to come here. We've already got that. And would want to come and spend time with us to see how we're doing it. But we can't do that if our homes are not open. We don't want guest houses. Even if we can afford it, we don't want guest houses. We want to be amongst each other. Are you with me? Okay. So I'm not going to try and convince you, but I'd like to really show you out of the Bible. I want to go to an account in the book of Genesis, where we see someone, and this man, someone, is called Abraham. And Abraham really has a heart that I want to say, this is the heart that I believe should be in us as Josh Chain and Bloemfontein. Say, God, give us the heart of Abraham. And Abraham is really a person that we can and should listen to. He is the father of our faith. He's the first one that God called to become a father of many nations. And if you read his stories, he's a wonderful example for us. Even today, he did not live by his works. He lived by faith. He's a man of faith. Three times, just to give you a bit of context about Abraham, three times the Bible calls him a friend of God. But there's one of those times that's so significant for me because the one who called him a friend of God was God himself. God said, Abraham, a friend of God. And I want to be like that. I want to have that type of favor on my life where God says, this man, Leonard, or Quirtson, or Michael, or whoever, or LaRue, you are a friend of God. And this is the type of man that he was. I want to dig into his story a little bit, dig into one account that we can just look straight into his heart and see how much of an open heart he had, even towards strangers, because I believe that that's what God wants to do in us. And I want to look at a portion of scripture in Genesis 18, verse 2 to 10. So it's 8 verses that I'd like to slowly work through this morning and take out of about 5 things that I believe God will show us through this text. But if you want to look at it again, Genesis 18, verse 2 to 10. But before we read it, just a little bit of context. This is a story, we're going to read it now, where Abraham is sitting under, the Bible says it's the oaks of Mamre. He's sitting, and this is actually his home. This is where Abraham made his home after him and Lot, his cousin, where they split. And he said to him, you can have the better portion. I'll go and I'll settle somewhere else. And so he makes his home in this place called the Oaks of Mamre. And at his home, one day he's sitting there and 3 gentlemen approach him. And he's got such a wonderful heart towards these people. What he did not know, and this is really important, he did not know that those people were not people. He thought they were just people, maybe extinguished people, maybe important people, but he thought, the Bible tells us, that he thought that they were just people. But if we really look at the Bible, it actually says that those were not people. One of those people, it was God appearing in the form of a human. It's a theophany, they call it. It's God coming like a human, appearing as a human to Abraham, and the other 2 people that came were also not people, they were angels. This is where in Hebrews 13, verse 2, I believe it references what happened here. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because this is what Abraham did there. For thereby some, Abraham, have entertained angels unaware. So it's this cool story where God and 2 angels come to Abraham and he does not know it. He only figures it out later. And we know that they are God, that it's God and 2 angels, because actually the Bible, the narrator of the book of Genesis, Moses mostly, he speaks of this person as Yahweh. YHWH is how they write Yahweh or God in the Bible. And also later, after this account, these 2 men, it says that these 2 men went to Sodom. And if you know the story, they went to destroy Sodom. But it says 2 men went to Sodom, and then later it says these 2 angels destroyed Sodom. And so you with me? It's actually God and 2 angels coming to him, but he does not know it. And it's such an incredible story. So let's start from verse 2. Sitting in his house, and the following happens. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, I'm going to come back to this, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Now, in those days, if you were important, you did not run. You didn't do it. You walked. And Abraham was not just a normal person. In today's language, he would have been called a sheik in that culture. He was like a king almost. He was a man of importance, a really rich man. So for him to run is actually really significant. We don't know it. We just think he ran. I think of the story, if you know it, of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son returned home after squandering all the wealth of his father and made a mess of his life. And as he came back after living with the pigs, we see the same thing, the Bible language. His father actually stood up and he ran towards him. That is not normal. A reader of the Bible who knows the context of the Bible, especially those who would have read it in Old Testament times, they would have said, this person was eager to do it. It wasn't forced. It wasn't just a nice gesture. This person was eager when you run. Because he was actually a really rich man. He was, at that stage, 99 years old, so running probably would not have looked like you think running. It probably would have been, you know. It's like, it would have taken a lot of effort for him. This is a big thing. It was not easy. And he was an important man. He had over 300 people actually working for him, so he was really important. But his heart really comes across, because he doesn't just sit. He stands up, he sees three strangers approaching, and because he's really got an open heart, he says, I will run towards them. I will run to show hospitality. He wants to show the love of God and the favor of God that is put on him. He wants to show it towards others. And that, I think, is really incredible. More context to the story is just before this, we read that it was the heat of the day. And this was an uncomfortable time. You know, in agricultural societies, especially where they were, where it's really warm in these regions, you worked in the morning and you work in the afternoon. In die middag vat jy 'n Bybelse middagslaapie. You know, because Jesus napped. It's very biblical. You take a nap in the afternoon. You rest. It's a siesta time. And so not only was he running, but it was the heat of the day. It was like downtime for Abraham. And it's so interesting, like God comes and he asks us to do things when it is uncomfortable for us. I don't know if you know that, that Christianity is not always comfortable. Following God is not always comfortable. He maybe asks you to do it in times when you think, God, could you not have come when it was a bit cooler, when it was a bit easier? But Abram's heart is, God, whenever you ask me to do something, I will be one to not only begrudgingly do it, I will be eager to do it. I will run towards it. I will run to show hospitality towards people because I show something of God. And that's the first thing that I feel we need to grasp. For us to be hospitable people, in our to open up our homes, we firstly actually need to open up our hearts. We need to have a heart to say, Lord, I want to show something of you towards people, and I want to use my house, my safe space, to show your love towards other people. In Romans 12, verse 13, it carries the same theme into the New Testament. It says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. If you seek to do something, it's not just doing it because you've been asked. There's a difference between being asked and seeking to do something. Okay? There's a massive difference. The one, I'll do it because it's a nice thing to do. The other one, I do it is because it's burning in my heart. I want to do it. If I seek to do it, if I seek to serve you, if I seek to love you, if I seek to show hospitality towards you, it means I want to do it. I'm looking for an opportunity. And so I want to challenge us, are we looking for opportunities to open up our homes, or are our homes more of just a safe space and we don't want to let people in there? Because let's be honest, if people in your homes, they see who you really are. They see how you speak to your dog and your wife and your husband and your kids. They see how you clean up after yourself or don't clean up after yourself. This morning it looked like a bomb exploded in our house. It did, because we've got three children. We need to get out, and Annie's living with us, but she's living with us for a week now. Where are you, Annie? Over there. She sees everything. She sees everything. But if our hearts are in the right place, we'll say, Lord, it's okay for people to see everything. I don't have to be perfect, but at least if I can show them your love and let them into my house, I want to seek to do it. Are you seeking to do it? The second one, or the next portion of scripture, let's go to verse 3. And then it continues, and this is what Abraham said. He said to these three gentlemen, O Lord. Lord is just a polite way of speaking as well. It does not mean he knew that they were God. We don't know when exactly he figured this out. If I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring you a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. I want to lift out small little lessons for us here. The second thing is, Abraham was really respectful to the people that came into his house. He was willing to make himself less so that they could enjoy themselves. It's as simple as it is, actually. And isn't that the heart of Jesus for us, actually? By doing that, aren't we showing something of Jesus? Aren't we preaching the gospel even through our lives? You know, this is what Jesus did. The most comfortable house that you'll ever find is a house called heaven. There's everything you need. Jesus had everything that he needed there. He even had fellowship. He had friendship. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we learn the Trinity in perfect unity. There's fellowship there. But Jesus, to show us his heart, he was willing to go out of his way to make himself less. I love that scripture that you unread this morning. He was willing to make himself come in the form of a servant, make himself less, take the low road so that we could become part of his household and we could enjoy the benefits of his house, heaven. That's the heart of Jesus. And so why do we do it? Because I'm preaching this? No, because we want to show Jesus to others. We want to say, I will make myself less, just like Jesus, so that somehow you might see more of him. That's my heart. I remember a couple of years ago, we had we were still living in Stellenbosch, in a tiny little apartment. It was a one-bedroom apartment that we rented. It was rented out to school teachers. And we loved our little space. It was just my wife and I. We just got married. It was our first little home. And they asked us whether we would host people for something. It was something, I think it was the conference that was happening in Malmesbury, or I can't remember. And we said, well, we don't actually have space. Like, we don't know how we're going to do it. Like, we don't have space. But our hearts are, if any way we can reflect Jesus, this is not to point towards me. I just want to show you that I think this is the way that we should do it. And we said, listen, yeah, send us anyone you want, and we'll sleep on the couch, and they can sleep on our bed, because we've only got one bedroom. And we did that, and we got this couple that we had nothing in common with. They came from a township somewhere on the West Coast. We came in, we could hardly understand each other. It was like, it was really like a bit of an awkward situation, actually. And we're like, yeah, here's our bed. We want to reflect something of Jesus. And let me tell you, that was such an incredible time with them. It was so funny. We took them to Stellenbosch afterwards just to go for a coffee, to show them around Stellenbosch. And we were like their personal photographers the whole time. We had to, please take a photo of us here. Please take a photo of us here. But we had such good connection. And you know what? I don't know what it did in their hearts. And really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it did anything in their hearts. But our hearts were to show, listen, we are willing to take whatever. We'll put up a mattress in the lounge if we can give you a bed. And it's not about us. I've spoken to countless people. This is a culture that needs to come into us where we say, we will make ourselves uncomfortable to make you comfortable because we want to show you Jesus. And so maybe you are here and you say, I don't have much to give. That's not the point. It's like that widow that just gave the little that she had. God sees it. And we're so shy about what we have. Will my house be enough? Will it be good enough? Will it be big enough? Will it be beautiful enough? That's not really the point. The point is, will you show someone honor by taking the low road and saying, I want to show you something of God? Matthew 25:35 comes to mind, where you'll all know this passage, but it says the following. Jesus is speaking to a bunch of disciples. He says, for when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Listen to this. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. And then the disciples said, Lord, but we did not do that for you. Where did we do this for you? He says, whenever you do this for the least of the little ones, you've done it for me. And so when we do this, when we show honor, it's not, you don't see a human in front of you. You see, I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm showing honor not because I think anything of you, but because I think much of my Savior. That's why we do it. Let's go to Genesis 18, verse 6, to the next point. This is so interesting. And Abraham went quickly, again, that eagerness that we see, into the tent to Sarah and said, quick. He wasn't praying about it. Should I do something? He was eager. 3 seas of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. Now, this is interesting. Abraham, I just want to remind you, the Bible tells us he had 318 servants living in his vicinity, in his little community. 318. Do you not think that he could have gone to one of his servants and said, quickly, chop chop, make some food, make it nice? Could he have done that? 100% he could have done that. But what did he do? He brought his wife and he said to his wife, come, let us do it. It is our privilege to do it. I have got the money. I have got the resources. I can do it in other ways. Oh, shame you using that. It's not working out with my notes. It's fine. You can just leave that. He doesn't do that. What he in fact does is he says, I will do it. We will be eager. When we are hospitable, we will make it a family event. Yes, we can pay, but we won't. I want to say this. When we open up our homes, we can use money to make it easier. And that's not wrong. But there's something of when we as a family say, together we will host people, we will have people in our house, that I believe we find the favor of God. Really think that we can maybe afford guest houses. Maybe we can say, let's book a guest house for 20 people. That's not the point, because then they don't live with us. We don't make friends, they don't make friends. We don't see more of God because we see more of God in each other. We don't do that. And so I think his heart really shines through here, that this is something that we say, no, but we as a family buy in. Those of you who have kids, your kids need to buy into it when we open up our homes to strangers. The Cape Town team, or people in our midst, or whoever it might be that God lays in your heart, your kids need to buy into it. And you need to sit down with your kids and you need to explain to them why we are doing these things. You know, sometimes we just think kids are like little robots. You just tell them what to do. You don't want that. I'll never forget, there's a couple in Stellenbosch. They live this to the max. They've always got people in their house. And they're in full-time ministry. And about 2-3 years ago, we were sitting into a course that their parents were doing, a soul care course. And you had to, in a group, you had to open up what was difficult about growing up. Are there any issues that you carry from your childhood? Now, this is a bit awkward because it's their parents. And now they're sitting in a group. And they said the following. They said, it felt like we, and I'm not saying they did anything wrong. I think this child is mature enough to handle this. She was just being vulnerable. She said, sometimes it feels like there were so many people in our house that there wasn't time for us. We had more people in our house that there was time for us. Our parents always had time for others. It didn't always feel like there was time for us. And I want to say, their parents should have changed nothing. It's good that they had people in there, but I think the lesson learned there and that they had to figure out together is communication with your kids is so important. You have to buy in. You are on mission together. You are in ministry together. When we came from Stellenbosch here, this was a family decision. It was a family doing it together. It's not me deciding it. As a family, we had to buy in, and we need to find faith. And your kids, they might need to give up their rooms. But we need to try our best to help them understand we're making a sacrifice for the Lord. A while ago, we had a couple with us here in Bloemfontein. We love the house that we're in. We lived in a little matchbox in Stellenbosch. There was no space. Suddenly, we've got space. It's a blessing of Bloem. There's much more space. It's wonderful. And no traffic. And much more space. It's wonderful. And we had a couple staying in our guest room. And then Nadine Badenoch, those of you, who was here for Nadine Badenoch coming through? Some of you? Yes? Okay, lots of you. Nadine came through and we just wanted to have her in our house, but we had to take one of our kids out of her room so that Nadine can have a room, and our kid had to sleep in our room, and I hated when our child sleeps in our room because I don't sleep then. Our little girl Ellie, those of you who have seen her, because she is such an extrovert, she stands up and says, Mama, Papa, 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. She's awake. I don't like it. Why do we do it? Because family, we do it together. We buy in together. It's an adventure that we're on together. We do these things together. This is the example that he showed to us. Let's move to verse 7 and 8. Verse 7. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good. So it wasn't like, gaan kry gou 'n lammetjie wat lyk of hy nie goed doen nie. Ons het nie geld hierdie maand nie. It's a long path to the end of the month. He wasn't doing that. And gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. You know, the lesson that we get here from him is when people came into his home, when these strangers came in, he gave his best. He did not give the scraps. He did not give the leftovers. He gave the best. And here's the thing about Christianity. God will ask you to give your best. We love to sometimes give God the leftovers, the scraps. Lord, if I've got a little money left over at the end of the month, yes, Lord, I'll give it to you. So please make my money last, Lord. That's how we pray. That's not God's heart. Lord, I will come to church this Sunday if this happens, if I get a good night's sleep, if my children are okay. And I get it. I'm a parent. I get it. But God is not interested in our scraps. He's not interested in our leftovers. Christianity, here's the thing. This is, you can quote me on Facebook or something. Christianity is free. It costs you nothing. It's free, but it will cost you everything. That's the art of Christianity. Yes, it's free. It's a free gift. But when you come into a place of serving God, He's going to ask you for your entire life. And you know, they say people get saved in stages. And the last thing of a person who gets saved many times is their wallet. Lord, I'll give you everything, but not my money. But God wants everything. He wants your relationship. He wants your family planning. He wants your career. He wants to be all in all. He wants your wallet. He wants your house. And it's costly to serve Him, but we are showing the heart of God. Abraham didn't mind that it was costly. He knew what it was like to follow God. There's this incredible story, just quickly, of David in the Old Testament, where there was a mess up and they wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And the command of God was to put the ark in a place that they called a threshing floor. And the people around him said, you can have it for free. It doesn't have to cost you anything. And there's this wonderful reply of David where he says, I will not give the Lord anything that costs me nothing. I want my Christianity, I want my life to be costly because then I'm serving the Lord. Coming to church sometimes is costly. Serving the Lord sometimes is costly. Spoke to a guy yesterday that said this week he was shouting at God saying, Lord, how could you? I want to say it is costly serving the Lord. It won't always make sense. But our hearts are to be, Lord, my life is yours. My everything is yours. I want my life to cost something so that I can mean something for you. Let's look at the last verse 10. And it's so beautiful because the lesson we learn out of verse 10 is that when we do this, when we open up our homes to strangers, we actually see the blessing of the Lord coming upon us. And so the Lord said, here we see it, Yahweh said, God said, so He calls out, He says, where's your wife Sarah? And Sarah comes, there's a whole backstory to this, she laughs, she doesn't believe God, but that's not the point. The point is what God says here, because they were trusting the Lord for a child. And it says, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, God's blessing really actually did follow the obedience of them opening up their homes to these strangers. If they did not do that, I wonder what would have happened. Would they have received this prophecy? Would Abraham have been the father of our faith? God might have made another plan. We would still be here today because God is sovereign and He makes all things work together. So He does do that. But Abraham now is the father of our faith. He's written about in the Bible. Why? What brought the blessing? What brought the fact that his wife at the age of 99 would become pregnant and have a child? What brought that prophecy about? It was someone who said, I'm eager to show something of God by being hospitable to others, by opening up my home, welcoming them in. And unbeknowingly, he opened up his house to God, actually. And that's actually what we do. The Bible does say if we do these things for the least of these, for any Christian, we're actually doing it for the Lord, and we will receive the blessing of the Lord. I'll end with this. We recently went to the Eastern Cape, and to the Eastern Cape Equip. 412, we've got these equips that we've got times of teaching that God would realign us to say, what does He want for us? I was so encouraged. It was an amazing time. And I just said, God, please do what You did there. Come and do it in us, in this region. Come and do it in Bloemfontein, amongst our people. I'm going to read you a couple of stats about that equip. So at this equip, there were 14 churches represented. There were 5 nations, which was incredible. I heard something. There were people from all over. There was, I'm not going to tell, should I tell you? Let me tell you, I want to. Got the mic. There was people from Tanzania and Kenya that came. It was incredible. If you know anything about church in Africa, your title is incredibly important. Who you are, you the man of God or the woman of God. God touched them so significantly, nations. Touched them, and they oversee hundreds of churches in those countries. They stood up at the end of the conference and they said, God has touched our lives so much, we need to serve people and not try and be important. We're leaving our titles in South Africa. Now, how incredible that is. That's what I want to see for us, that we would see God touching nations through us here in Bloemfontein. Five nations represented, 1,171 saints or people at the conference. Now listen to this. Out of the East London crew, I think there were about 300 or 400 people from East London at the Equip. Let's say 400 max. Out of those 400 people, 453 people were hosted. That means everyone hosted. The question is not how many can you, not can you host, the question is how many can you host. That's what happened. It was done by 90 households did this. I think there were two or three households that had 20 people in the house. They just put out mattresses. They said, does anyone have extra mattresses? And they just put mattresses down. I was fortunate at the end of that time to preach in a church called Sterling Worship Center. And this was, I preached at the conference, you know, so let me not make jokes about this. Then you think I'm arrogant. Anyway, bad joke. Go away. Go away. Out. But at the end of the conference, so we on the Sunday, and the guy leading the service, he says, quickly, at the Equip, come, we want five testimonies from the Equip. Five people, quickly come forward, come share. I thought at least one person would say something about the preaching, you know. Out of all of them, none of them said anything about the preaching. You know what they said? They said, we had people in our house and our lives were changed. All five. All five of them. There was one lady that stood up and she testified and she started crying. She said, I did not have the money to do it. I didn't know how I would do it. And I'm a bit of a hoarder, so I had two rooms that I could use, but it was so full of junk. I had to get rid of the junk, put it in different storage. It took me work. It took me 2-3 weeks to prepare. I was so tired when they got there, but my life has been changed by the connections that I made. She said, she wrote down a little scripture on each of them and put it on their beds, and all of them came back and said that impacted them so much. And for that lady, she's just a lady in a church, to be able to give something and see that it means something, it changed her. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then some of those, and this is not what will happen, but someone anonymously deposited money into her bank account because she said, I would not make it to the end of the month, but I wanted to do it. And someone deposited money into her account and she could make it through. God's blessing, man. There's something when we do this, but it will cost you something. It will be difficult. But I want to challenge you, whether you're a student, whether you work, whether you are rich, whether you're poor, it doesn't really matter. If we can open up our homes, I promise you, take my word at this, you will see the blessing of God. You will see your Christianity change because it will go from a Sunday Christianity to a doing life together Christianity. Can we stand as we end, please? And someone from the worship team, maybe.